Davis are looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls preview podcast supported by Phantom Bruco for the Leighton Orient match at home. Well, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to say it right now. I think we've had an okay week. What do you think, James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle? Do you think that's fair? I don't want anyone else to know because I know what might come around the corner, but you just don't know.
I'd say it's been okay. You know, the win against Derby was unexpected. But then losing Nelson Abbey 15 minutes ago. I don't want to date this podcast, but yeah, about 15, 20 minutes ago. And obviously the disappointing defeat against Wigan, because it was a game in which we probably could and should have got something out of it. But yeah, I'd go with okay. It's had its ups and downs, but you know, it was a win and a clean sheet and an unexpected bonus, I think, in terms of staying up.
Yeah, totally. But you haven't touched on, James, the bit that I was going to say was the massive bonus was no points deduction from the EFL. Suspended. But obviously for now, the rest of this season and the following season. So I think that's about as good as we could expect, wasn't it, really? I still fully back the pitch invasion. I don't know what your thoughts are going to be on it, James. I don't want to speak for you. But I think that's a result, basically, for us.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to back it because you've got to see what impact it's made, kind of the coverage and the reach that it's got. It's obviously justified its means. Nobody wanted to do it and nobody wants to do it again, particularly. But, you know, it happened and I think things have got better because of it. I think it's probably what we should have expected. The only other example we could have looked back on was Blackpool, and that's exactly what they got. So I guess that's the EFL's precedent. I hate to disappoint some of the Port Vale fans who'd hoped to maybe get 3 points. I'm sure Reading will be just as nice to them when they come back down in a few weeks' time and maybe give them those 3 points once they've worked for them. But yeah, I think it's probably on par with what's to be expected. Another panel for Dye to go through, see if the EFL push for disqualification this time. I think it's really the only card that they've got left to play. It'll be interesting to see kind of what comes out of it. The guy that's not paid any of the fines he's been given and hasn't listened really to anything that the EFL have asked, but hey ho, you can try again. But yeah, you know, I think okay is good. You know, I think it's been a week as expected, I think, which is quite nice in Reading because a lot of the time we get hit with unexpected things.
Yeah, like even with the Nelson Abbey news, none of us have. That's not a shock to anyone, is it? I mean, if you follow Reading in any way in the last week or so, you've kind of known that he was definitely going to leave, especially after Ruben Sellers confirmed after the match on Saturday against Wigan that that will be his last match for Reading in this period. Who knows? Maybe in the future we'll see him again. Nothing's impossible. The comeback. I'm now getting flashbacks of Shane Long, Dave Kitt and Glenn Little. It didn't work out too well, but who knows? Who knows how this will go with him? But good luck to Nelson Abbey. I think he's just captained the team at such a difficult period. The 2 or 3 months at the beginning of the season were absolutely horrific for the club and so difficult. The away games, just the off the field situation was just, I don't know, obviously he hadn't reached his peak because we're still there, but it felt like it was becoming more and more apparent that this was affecting every single part of the club and it was not going to suddenly going to magically get better, James. And I think he's got the potential to be quite a decent player, we'll see, but Olympiacos in brackets, Nottingham Forest next season. So what are your thoughts on him in the move?
You know, the thoughts, obviously, that you echo on him as a person. I think he's held himself incredibly well. He's been thrust into such a difficult situation and it was either sink or swim. And he's swum doing the butterfly, back crawl, front crawl, trying all of them at the same time. You know, he's taken it like a duck to water. Yeah, he's had his moment, you know, but every young player's going to have their moments. Some of the games he's single-handedly kind of kept Reading in. Charlton away was 4-0. Could have been about 7 or 8 had he not kind of intercepted some of the big ones. And I know Charlton fans got him incredibly, gave him an incredible reception after that game. And they were all calling for him to sign at the Valley. He's gone to another club in red and white over in Greece. And yeah, it's a chance to play in Europe in the Conference League. They're fourth in the top flight at the minute, but obviously 47 Greek Super League titles, a huge European club. And, you know, you can't hold back the chance to play like that. I mean, obviously, it's one to keep an eye on and see how he does. it's an even bigger step if we thought making his debut and breaking into the Reading team was a big ask, you know, especially even with the change of culture and the language and whatever else. But yeah, no, it's interesting to see. Personally, I think he probably would have done better at Luton, but who knows? You know, it's down to him now to make the best of what he's chosen.
Yes, I'm sure his leader and commander, Keir Jarcham, is very happy with this situation. that's all I'm saying on it. But obviously, we've now seen the game against Derby County. I didn't see it. I'll be quite frank with you. I was in hospitals. But James, you were there. What were your thoughts on our performance? Because I just keep on hearing positives about it, combined with the fact that Derby weren't that great.
Yeah, Derby were really poor. I had a mate who supports Derby and said it's the worst performance he's ever seen from his Derby team. And he's watched them for over 10 years. So that kind of shows what it was. And yeah, it was 1-0. Could have been 2 or 3. We had a couple of decent chances. Yeah, you know, it wasn't a scintillating performance. I think we probably played a little bit better, but the grit to kind of see it out and you know, it's a good nice for Makairu to get on the score sheet again. He hasn't done that particularly often at home. And, you know, any result against Derby in the form they've been in is a good result, no matter how you perform. But I think the performance will be something to build on for Ruben. You know, I don't think Derby could have complained if it was 2-0, maybe even 3-0. We had a couple of decent crosses and a few chances where they didn't shoot, where they probably could have shot. But, you know, got another really, really tough game with another informed team coming up on Saturday. So you've got to back that one up now and try and force your way out of that relegation zone.
Yes, Leighton Orient are in a fantastic run of wins. I think it's now maybe 5 games on the trot they've won. They've also conceded no goals. This is a tough one. I mean, for the form table, they must be top of it at the moment. Obviously, Matt in a minute is going to be talking to a Leighton Orient fan. Yeah, this is a real tester, and kind of I'm feeling positive about it. Our home form, I think that's now 3 consecutive wins we've had. So, James, are you going to bring us all down here? Are you going to say a negative result, or are you going to get on the Reading FC fun bus?
I'm going to go for a draw. I reckon we could hold them. You know, I wasn't that impressed with them at home, at their place, although we were pretty shocking. Yeah, I'll go 2-2. I think it'll be an entertaining game. They score a few goals. I think we've got it in us. I think we need to get more out of Smith, personally. I think he's been chasing shadows last few weeks. He does all the hard work and does everything he can and with holding up, but I just don't think they feed him enough clear chances to score with the finishing abilities he's got. So, yeah, I think feed a bit more to Sam Smith. I reckon he'll get a brace. And, yeah, 2-1. 2-1? 2-2 is what I'm going for.
No, let's go for the 2-1. I'm going to go for, it will be a tough one. I just think there will be plenty of goals in this. Both teams have shown that they scored goals in the last few months. Our form has consistently improved since, I would say, ultimately, the Portsmouth match. Even though we did lose that, we've looked a lot more compact and better. We've not conceded so many chances. We've looked like we're going to score more goals. Aziz has come into fantastic form. He's maintained it as well, which is absolutely great to see. So I'm going to, after all that build-up, I'm going to say 2-1 to Reading, and David Button is going to save a penalty. That is my prediction. Oh, James is not feeling that one. But retribution for Leighton Orient away. But we will see. I am deeply regretting that already. The penalty bit is a mistake, Paul. You know it is. You absolutely know it is. But who cares? Thanks for listening. And now have the Matt talking to a Leighton Orient fan. Hope you enjoy it. Cheers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part 2 of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. Now it's time, of course, to flip over and have a look at the opposition. We've taken a look at Reading and all the trials and tribulations. Let's have a look at Leighton Orient, our opposition this weekend coming to the SCL. To do so, we've got Steve from the Orient Outlook podcast. How are you doing, Steve?
Very well, Matt. Thank you for inviting us into your wonderful, wonderful podcast. Looking forward to talking about Saturday's game.
Pleasure. No, it's great to have you on, Steve. We missed you earlier in the season. Dates didn't align, so we never really got to have a dive in to Leighton Orient and get a bit of an understanding around Orient's kind of history the last 5-10 years, because it's been a bumpy road of late. So let's just have a look back at Leighton, or maybe go back to slightly darker times, back when the Italians were in. I mean, back in, it was 1718, I think it was the year, 1617, sorry, was the year you dropped out of the Football League under their ownership. But since then, it's been a slow rise back to a very mid-table kind of good-looking League One side.
Yeah, basically, we had an awful 3 years under the Italian, whose name is banned from our podcast. So I won't belittle your own podcast with his name.
Shan't utter the name.
Shan't utter the name, no. But, you know, in the space of 3 years, we went from being League One playoff finalists to National League team, which was very hard to take. Two relegations in 3 years, and an owner who just didn't get it right. And once he realized kind of how difficult football is and how you just can't throw that money at a football club and hope it sticks, and if you don't have the right culture, you won't progress the club. And once he kind of figured that out, we were only going to go one way. So an awful 3 years, got to National League. Thankfully, despite many close shaves and very many close calls, we survived it. Got bought out by a Leighton Orient fan in Nigel Travis, who put together a consortium. And since then, we've only gone on an upward trajectory and find ourselves, you know, 6 years later after being bought, after winning two league trophies, so one National League. And we're only there for 2 years, which is amazing, really, when you think about it, about how difficult so many teams have found it to get out of that league. And we were only there for 2 years, which is amazing. And then, yeah, won the League Two title last season, and then I've never looked back, really. And we find ourselves, like you said, you know, as we say, 10th in League One as we're talking. We were 9th, but dropped the place due to the midweek fixtures. And we look pretty competent at League One level for the most part. It's been a fairly decent season. There's been some disappointing results, I guess, like any team will have, but also some very encouraging results. And I think you find at the moment this might not be the best time to play Orient off the back of recent results. We just beat Bolton 1-0 and looked really good against them. And then the week before that, went to Portsmouth, who were top of the league, and no one kind of gave us a chance. And we're 3-0 up by half time. And it wasn't an undeserved 3-0 lead. It was a comprehensive battering of Portsmouth. So at the moment, I think you'll find a very, very happy Orient fan base. We will probably be more than confident. Not sure if that's the right word to use. We shouldn't be confident, because going to Reading is still going to Reading. And obviously you had a great result in midweek. But yeah, it's probably, you know, one of the best times that I can remember being an Orient fan in the last 10 years, because no fear going into this one.
Well, one person that, I mean, you've talked about the renaissance really of Leighton Orient of late. One person I think that has just been key in that really has been manager Richie Wellens. Came in the back end of the 21-22 season, I think, for you. I think you were 20th or so in League Two. Pulled you from 20th to finish 13th that season. And then obviously last season promoted League One champions. And this season, I mean, like I say, you've developed into a very competent, stable League One team, a team that no one really wants to play. Doesn't score massive amounts of goals, but really doesn't concede many chances either. I mean, what's the feeling around Richie Wellens, really, from an Orient perspective?
Well, I think, like you said, he came in and we were struggling in League Two big time. He came in at the back end of January, where our transfer window business was terrible. We looked like we could get caught in a relegation scrap. And within 5 to 10 games, he completely changed the mood, the feeling, not only amongst the fan base, but the players as well. And like you said, it was a fairly comfortable finish. And in what he'd done is he didn't do much turnover in the summer, but with the players who he had, who was a good caliber of League Two player, he just got them all playing to their strengths, and he managed the squad incredibly well. And we won it at a canter last season. It was very un-Orient like. It was just focused. The team always looked good and up for it and efficient. And he's done an outstanding job in the last 2 years he's been at the club. And the way he kind of sees football is he's very much all about the players. And if you've got the players and your tactics right and you do the basics right, then you'll win more games than you'll lose. And he's continued to evolve the team with a good sprinkling of experienced players, but also young players as well, who he's given a chance to. So he's just signed Ollie O'Neill from Fulham, who is a young kid, and I think a few eyebrows might have been raised, but he also looks like an exciting prospect. So hopefully we'll get to see him make his debut for Orient on Saturday. But he got a good team around him. He's very engulfed in the club's culture. We were lucky enough to have Richie on the podcast, on our podcast on Sunday for about 45 minutes. And when you speak to him, you just can't help but be infused. But he got sent off on Saturday. And I don't think he's going to be in the dugout for the game against Reading. So I think that could be quite a big loss to us and could be quite an advantage for Reading. But he's done a sensational job in 2 years. I think however long Orient can keep him for, we will, because I think his career is only going one way and it's only going to be a matter of time before a bigger League One club or a Championship club look around and go, that guy at Leighton Orient's done doing quite a good job. Should we take a chance on him? And I can't speak hardly enough of the job that Richie Wenders has done at Leighton Orient, really.
Has he surprised you this season, Richie Wellens, with how high you are? Because looking at League Two last year, the teams that have come up, I mean, barring Carlisle, Northampton, Stevenage, Leighton Orient, all top half, top 10 even, really, all three of them. Stevenage being right up there. Northampton slowly creeping up. Orient creeping back up the table as well. Has it surprised you, really, one, how well Richie Wellens and Orient have done this year, but also potentially the other League Two promoted sides last year?
I think I'm more surprised at Northampton more than anyone else. I think Stevenage, when we played them, were very efficient. And they have made, there's been a lot of turnover at Stevenage, but some good turnover. And I think during the last summer, and you saw they were signing like Piergiani, and then they signed the centre-back from Forest Green Rovers, who's currently still in their team. You kind of raise a few eyebrows. Well, actually, they're signing some decent players here. So not so much surprised that Stevenage, more surprised at Northampton, because I think Northampton just got themselves over the line last season. But in terms of us, I think we had two big losses from the team in the summer. We lost Lawrence Vigouroux, who was our keeper. He's now at Burnley, and fair play to him. You know, he deserved that move. He got a big move to a Premier League club, and we lost our kind of playmaker in Paul Smith to QPR. So in the very early in the pre-season, we were a bit downhearted. But in the business we've done in the summer, where we brought back Ikusel Mizuni on loan from Ipswich, got our hopes high. And then we signed Dan Adji from Crewe, who was probably the best opposition player we played against last season. And we were all really excited. And we didn't sign Jordan Graham. So we were looking really strong going into the season. And we lost Dan Adji to a really bad injury in pre-season. So Adji's only come back in the last kind of 4 to 5 weeks properly. And that's kind of coincided with our upturn in fortunes on the pitch. So yes, I'm pleasantly surprised at points by Orient, but no, not so much with the quality we've brought in. And we've never been able to play our strongest 11 this season, and we won't be able to because of injuries. So we signed Jordan Graham, who was having a great impact on the pitch, and he got injured at the end of October away at Burton. He's out for the season. So Adji's back, but Graham's still out. So we haven't actually seen Orient's strongest 11. And as a football fan, you kind of think, well, if only we hadn't had those injuries at the start of the season, and if only Graham was fit all season, who knows where we'd be, considering we're 10th. So, yeah, I think we've outperformed a bit where I expected us to be. But also, when we played on the pitch, we haven't really been battered by anyone. I think there's been like a 1-4-0 at home to Portsmouth really early on in the season, which was a bit of a rude awakening, but it wasn't really a 4-0 defeat performance. And apart from that, we haven't really been outskilled or outbattled by anyone. We've lost like by the odd goal here and there, is what will always happen on the pitch. But not come away from many games thinking that team were much better than us. And, you know, like I said, just beat Bolton, beat Portsmouth before that. So we've kind of played a few of the top teams twice now. So I think February will be the busy point for us. There's a lot of Tuesday, Saturday games of like postponements. And that's going to be the month where I think we'll really find out what Orient are about. And if we can kind of stick kind of up and around in February, then it could be quite an exciting end of the season for Orient this season.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, currently you are how many points off the playoffs? It's 11 points?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of have to be some run to get into the playoffs. I think, you know, if you're offering me top 10 now, between 10th and 8th, I'd go, yeah, that's fine as kind of a first season back, and then we'll push on next season. But yeah, I mean, never say never in football, right? Because I think we both know kind of what can happen. But I think the playoffs are probably out of bounds. But you never know, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, looking back at this season a little bit, diving back, obviously, when we came to your place, lost, obviously, in the last minute. Thank you very much, David Button, for that drop in the last minute. That was classic. That was classic Reading FC of that time. I mean, Button had some special performances in that period. But after that, you played Carlisle, but then went on a run of 1-10 before your kind of resurgence at Christmas. Was there any, I mean, you talked about injuries. Was a lot of it injury-based, that dip down in form, losing, you know, your main striker at the time?
Yeah, I mean, that 1-10, that we were just, we lost the games by the odd goal here and there. Mm. Jordan Graham had just been injured, and that seemed like a big, big deflator of like morale amongst fans and probably the players as well internally. But I guess the one man who was really calm during that was Richie Wellens, who went, look, mm-hmm. we've got these injuries, you know, we're not playing badly, stick with it, and we'll get there. And we did. So, yeah, I mean, even though I think we only won 1-10, like you said, I think we drew about 5 or 6 of those. So it wasn't like we were going on a massive losing run. We were drawing games, which we probably should have won, and losing games that we probably should have got draws in. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that was a kind of a frustrating period, but one where, you know, I think everyone kept their nerve. I think we've got a culture at the club where the ball aren't going to panic. You know, I think at some clubs, they might have pushed the big red button, at, you know, by a certain point. That's not what will happen at Orient, especially with Richie, given all that he's kind of achieved in his short spell at the club. So, yeah, a bit of a dodgy spell, but never have kind of in doubt in terms of, you know, is Richie going to go? Have we got the quality squad to kind of take us forward? And we seem to be kind of out of that period now into a really kind of strong period, I guess, going into Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the games since Christmas, really. I mean, it's been a fantastic Christmas and New Year period. And even in that run, I think the one thing you can sometimes dive into looking into who you play, etc., too much, but your losses came at Oxford, Lincoln, Derby and Bolton, teams that were flying really at that stage of the season. So you can maybe look at it and say that, I guess, you know, Orient really have beaten the teams they've needed to beat or that have been below them this season, really, until Portsmouth and Bolton. And then, you know, putting in two clean sheets, two big performances then, you know, I think, you know, has really given, I think, Leyton Orient fans a real kind of hope going forwards. One person who's kind of been key in that period for you, you've mentioned him already. I'm gonna butcher his name because I've forgotten how to pronounce it already. Dan Aggie,
everyone,
sorry,
dreadful name. That, so, yeah.
And obviously, he was one that had been injured earlier in the season. How big has he been coming back? Because obviously, 3 goals and 3 now for you guys, of late, man on fire, really.
Yeah, been huge. Like I said, when we signed him, we were all quite kind of pleasantly surprised. We knew he was a free agent, and he was impactful when we played Crewe both times last season. So really happy to get him. And we needed a replacement for Paul Smith, essentially, to get the fans excited. And yeah, he's just been brilliant since he's been back. Kind of started off with a few cameo appearances on the bench, getting 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here. But since the turn of the year and at Christmas time, he's kind of been ready enough to start. Got his first goal away to Cambridge, took it well. And I think that kind of, once a player gets off the mark for you, then they kind of, all that kind of shackles and those restrictions go free. So since then, he went and followed that up by scoring at the weekend as well, which was a really well-taken goal. That was a really tight game and he only had one chance really, but he took it clinically. And also scored away to Portsmouth. And all 3 goals have been quite different. So Cambridge was on the floor, beat his man. Paul Pompey was direct from a corner, which is very unlike Orient, where the corner swung in, he kind of beat his man to the ball and just smacked it into the net. And Bolton was a lucky deflection that came into his path and one touch, hold of his man and just smacked it in. So he's been really, really good in terms of a clinical finisher, but also in terms of getting us up the pitch and holding the ball up the pitch as well. Like, he's big, he's strong, he's quick. And he played against Santos from Bolton, who's probably one of the strongest defenders in League One. And Santos did not like it at all. So I think from a forward impact, he has made us a lot more difficult to get the ball off up top, but also in terms of getting the midfield around him involved in the play. He's done that really well. And like you said, three goals and three matches pretty much. And we love him. And there's already talk of like trying to extend his contract. And like, he's literally played three games, mate. So like, calm down a little bit. And a few silly rumours about Pompey looking at him. But you're like, there's no, that can't be true. But yeah, big impact for him. And I'd be amazed if he doesn't start as a central striker on Saturday.
Now, I think one thing you're allowed to do as football fans is run a bit wild when you've got a striker in form. We all do it. So yeah. Other players for Orient really to look out for. I'm going to butcher his name as well. I'm picking out the hardest name seemingly to mention.
It wasn't Idris.
No, he was going to be one I was going to mention. He's been fantastic, obviously, in midfield for you. Attacking midfielder, top scorer for you. I'm just going to call him Raul or Rul because that's his first name.
Rul.
That's the one.
Rul's actually not starting at the moment, so he picked up a knock.
He's been super sub.
And the thing about Rul, and you've probably got strikers at Reading as well, is that he will frustrate the hell out of you. He'll miss what you perceive to be a simple chance, and then he'll get a much more difficult chance from a ridiculous angle, and he'll ping it into the back of the net. So he's our top scorer. He's kind of lost his, since Adji's come back in, and Rul kind of picked up the injury around the same time. Rul's kind of coming back now. He got about 20 minutes on the pitch against Bolton, so he'll be involved somewhat on Saturday. I don't think he'll start, but he's a good player to have off the bench, and yeah, don't be surprised if he misses an easy chance and then puts one away 5 minutes late, which is much more difficult because that's kind of what Rul does. But he's a good player. He feels like he's been at Orient for ages and he's only 23, but because he's been like a youth product, feels like he should be much older, I guess. Mm-hmm. But good player, was pivotal in League Two last season for us and scored some really vital goals at vital moments. Yeah, and a good player, one to potentially hopefully scare Reading in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, a few other kind of names to mention. I mean, you've got Shaqué Ford, right winger, very young, fantastic player so far this season. Archibald Idris. I mean, who would you be picking out as kind of the player to watch for Orient this weekend?
I think we've already kind of touched upon Adji, but I think Theo Archibald, we play kind of one up top with two wingers kind of trying to bomb forward either side. So Archibald's on the left, Ford's on the right. Ford has been brilliant in the last couple of weeks. So he's on loan from Watford, kind of started, dropped out of the team, and the last 5-6 weeks has been immense. He's been good. But I think Theo Archibald is really coming to his own over the last month and a half on the left, whether it's kind of picking out players with passes that you don't even see that are on, or driving the team forward and running and taking out his markers. I think he's been nothing short of phenomenal. And I would definitely say your right back's going to have a bit of a job on his hands on Saturday if Theo can kind of recapture and keep up the form that he's shown in the last couple of games, because he really is good at getting us up the pitch quickly and then creating chances or creating fouls essentially for us to get set pieces into the box.
Could be a real battle to watch that then. Reading fullbacks love to get forward. Theo Archibald loves to get forward on his side. That could be a really, really interesting battle. So, Steve, the all-important score predictions. What are you? I mean, they mean absolutely nothing. As we always know, they mean absolutely nothing. But are you confident of it? You sound confident of an Orient win this weekend. What are you going to go for?
Do you know what? I was a lot more confident until I saw the result on Tuesday night. And I thought, oh, Derby, because we had Derby in December and we could not compete with Derby. It kind of fell in that spell, like you said. But I thought Derby were probably the best team I've seen, or one of the best teams in League One. So I must admit, I did raise an eyebrow when I saw the result, but fair play to Reading. I think this one's got a draw written all over it. I think Reading would take a draw, and I think Orient would probably be fairly happy with a draw. So I'm going to say 0-0. I normally say 1-0 if I'm not sure, but because we've kept 5 clean sheets, so we've currently got our best clean sheet record since 1971 in terms of keeping 5 clean sheets straight in the league. I think we could end up keeping a clean sheet, but I think to that detriment, we might not score a goal. So I'm going to say 0-0. Hopefully it's not, because it's going to be a busy stadium. I think we've sold out our first ticket allocation. we sold out our second ticket allocation, and we sold out our third ticket allocation. So it's going to be just over 2,000 Orient fans there. So it's going to be great atmosphere. And, you know, I think it's probably important to say that we will support Reading any way we can. So whether it's a tennis ball on the pitch or whether it goes further on Saturday, Orient fans know what it's like. And Orient, and if any anti-EFL chanting that starts happening, I can guarantee you it will be welcomed by the away fans and joined in to a very loud extent with the away fans, because we've been there. And so we know what's going to happen. So I think it'll be a great atmosphere, because I think it'll be busy Reading's end. It'll be massively busy in the Orient end. And like I said, there won't be, if Reading fans need to do what they need to do, I don't think there'll be any kind of hesitation from the Orient fans to support Reading in what they need to do. So I think it'll be a very united atmosphere in the ground, and a very good one as well, which hopefully translates onto the pitch and we see a good game of football. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Are you going to be at the stadium at the weekend?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, Orient haven't played at the Majeski Stadium, I don't think, in about 15 years. So it's quite a big deal for Orient fans. And there's obviously got a lot of young Orient fans who've never experienced their team going there. So yeah, looking forward to that. My co-host is taking his son to his first away game as well. So there's lots of people saying it's going to be like their kid's first away game. So yeah, it's going to be a busy way, and I look forward to having my first experience there and obviously helping Reading in terms of any EFL chants or any songs that they have to get their voices heard.
Top man. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. Brilliant seeing Orient on the resurgence this season, and the past few seasons anyway. Glad, you know, you've been able to get your club back. Reading fans, there is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Leighton Orient have been there. They're almost, you know, almost case subject number 10, 11, 12, 13, however many in this league, you know, so keep with it. But thank you for the words, Steve, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, likewise, Matt. Reading are far too big to be where they are at the moment, and you just need to get that guy out of your club by hook or by crook. And it might take 6 weeks, it might take 6 months, but he won't be there and you will after it. So, you know, you might have some tough times ahead, but it will happen. And when it does, the euphoria you will feel will be unlike any other. Talking about it now, I've still got like the back of my neck, it's like hairs are raising, because I remember like us getting the word that it had happened, and that the club had been sold. And it was a magic moment.
I appreciate it. So with that, I think it's a good moment to say Dai Yong out, sell before we die. And we will catch you on the next podcast. We'll of course be back on Sunday reviewing the game. Win, loss or draw, we'll be back. Of course, if you have enjoyed this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating. It really does help us in all the lovely podcast rankings and everything to help new listeners find us and all that lovely stuff. So with that, I've been Matt Lansley. This has been the On Park Royals preview podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.